Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible today with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, get something to take notes with. I mean, all of you educators know this very well. We have a lot of educators in our church. You know that if you write something down, you tend to be more committed to it. You tend to be more committed to it. You tend to remember it. You tend to, immerse yourself in it through writing it down. So I encourage you to do that today. We're finishing our series on how to build resilience in difficult times. Did I help anybody this month on resilience and bounce back ability? And I think it's a needed subject. It's very relative to where we're all at right now. You know, I was watching an interview this week with Oprah Winfrey. And they were asking her how she has dealt with COVID. This is Oprah Winfrey. And she said, you know, a year ago in March when this all hit, she said, you know, I thought I was going to be for 30 days and be gone. And then she said it went on, and then it went on, and it went on. And this is Oprah. She said, I got overwhelmed. She said, I got stressed out. She said, I began to put on weight. Now, she owns Weight Watchers, right? She sure does. She said, I began to put on weight. And she said, everything was, my whole life was being, this is Oprah on the interview I watched this week. And she said, then I heard that they said anybody above 60 is in a very, bad place, could be really prone to COVID and everything. And she said, I thought, okay, well, then she thought, I'm over 60. She goes, I don't feel like a senior citizen, but they're telling me I'm a senior citizen. They're telling me I'm in risk. And then she said, that stressed me out more. And then she said she got pneumonia. She said, it's been a whole year of disorder. This is Oprah now. She said, it's been a whole year of disorder. But she said, here's what I'm going to do. She said, last year was a year of disorder. She said, I'm going to make this year a year of order. And here's what she said. I'm going to rebuild my life. Now think about it. What are we doing on our campus? We're remodeling, we're rebuilding, right? You need to know that when things are happening in the natural, it's a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual. Oh, yeah. So don't think about when you look at our campus, what you see being rebuilt in the natural, lives are being rebuilt in the spiritual, which is the most important. So when you see things happening in the natural, it's a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual realm. And I like that, what she said. I grabbed that. I took that. She said, it's a time of rebuilding. She said, I'm going to reorder my life. I'm going to lose the weight. She said, I'm going to rebuild this year. And I thought, that's what we've been doing all month, right, on rebuilding or building resilience. The ability to bounce back. The ability to bounce back from a setback. Resilience is the ability to adapt, adjust, to learn, apply, grow, and come out better. And that's what we have to have if we're going to be healthy spiritually, healthy emotionally, healthy mentally, and with our relationships. We've got to have resilience. Resilience is bounce back ability. Resilience is that inner strength. We said all during our series, and we ended today, we're beginning a brand new series next weekend on how to overcome loneliness. Loneliness. People are more lonely now, post-COVID, than ever before, because of the isolation and the broken relationships, the broken routine, that loneliness is an epidemic right now. Well, we're going to spend all next month helping people who are lonely, even though they're in the midst of a crowd. That's all next month. Pray for me, would you? For revelation. So anyway, bounce back ability. You won't find resilience, the word in the Bible, but you will find its sister. And that's the word courage. Courage. Can you say that with me? Courage. Courage is defined as an inner strength that is revealed through bold action. An inward strength. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, if I faint in the day of adversity, it's because my strength is small. So I can't run from adversity, and it's not going away. From a pastor who loves you, it's my job to prepare you for adversity. Adversity is not going away. It's only going to compound. The Bible says in the latter days, stress, problems, depression. That's another series we're going to be doing this summer on how to overcome depression, because they're telling us post-COVID, more people are depressed and mentally ill than ever before. Did you know the sale of alcohol tripled in the last year in America? The sale of alcohol, Wall Street Journal, I read it this week, tripled in the U.S. in this last year. Alcohol sale tripled in the last year. So at Church on the Rock, because of you, we want to keep reaching out and helping hurting people in the months and years to come. So resilience, it's courage. It's an inner strength that will keep you from quitting when it gets rough and tough. It's the ability to bounce back quickly from a disappointment, from adversity. It's the ability to adapt, adjust, and learn. In the storm, we're a student. Am I right, Church on the Rock? In the storm, we're a student. And so we learn quickly, we apply it, and we're growing and coming out better and stronger on the other side. We looked at two Bible characters, Joshua and Joseph, this month. They are great illustrations and examples of resilience. We're going to finish looking at Joseph a little clip today, end with Joshua at the end of the series, and give you some takeaways. Is that okay with everybody? So let's go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, the guys will have it on the board, verse 17 through 19. This is a reference to Joseph. If this is all new to you, that's okay. The life of Joseph is in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It's chapter 37 to chapter 50. You read the life of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old, teenager, in Genesis 37. He shared a dream with his brothers. They didn't like it. He saw in this dream that they were bowing down to him because he was in a place of leadership, a role of leadership. They didn't like it, so they tried to kill him. And then they decided to put him in a pit, sell him into slavery, send him into Egypt. So as you watch the life of Joseph, you and I can identify, probably not in the degree that he went through, but we can identify with hardship and adversity. How he bounced back, we can learn also to bounce back. So as we look at his life, from Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50, first book of the Bible, you will see two phrases repeated over and over and over and over again. Again, all you educators know that when something's repeated, it means it's important. And we learn through repetition. So two phrases. One is, he remembered the dream. We looked at that really extensively last weekend. He remembered the dream. It's important you have a reason to keep on keeping on. It's important you know you have a destiny. God has a dream for your life. God has a purpose. You and I are to live a purpose-driven life. We have to have a reason to get up in the morning. We have to have a reason to fight our battles and be in the battle to win it. Amen. So he remembered the dream. You've got to have a dream from God. It's got to be clear. You've got to continually, daily look at it. You got to visit your future and then come back to your past, and it gives you the present, the power for the present. Visiting your future, then coming back to the present, you have power for the present. So he remembered the dream. That's key. That's a clue on resilience. All right? People with a dream, people with a reason, people with a purpose tend not to quit. Then number two, the second phrase that's repeated over and over again was, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. That's huge. And the Lord was with him. What does that speak of? God's presence, God's favor, God's presence. Now, God's presence, you and I need to do everything we can every day to get in his presence. If we're going to be resilient, if we're going to face adversity and get through it and come out better, we've got to know how to get into the presence of God every day. Now, if you're a note taker, the benefit of God's presence is protection. The benefit of God's presence is protection. The benefit of God's presence is his peace. Everyone say protection and peace. So the benefits of his presence, and the Lord was with him. Remember, he was in the pit. The Lord was with him. Remember that he went to Potiphar's house and the Lord was with him. And all that happened there, lies and injustice. He was fibbed on, lied on. Potiphar's wife wanted to have an affair. He wouldn't do it. She lied about him. And for false accusation, for doing the right thing, he was put into prison. But the Lord was with him. And then what happened from the prison? He went to the palace. And he was second most powerful man on the planet next to Pharaoh, and the Lord was with him. If you and I work to discipline ourselves and develop the skill set to get in the presence of God every day, then no matter our circumstances, we can have God's protection, we can have God's peace, we can have God's promotion in our life, regardless of the circumstances. Look at the life of Joseph. And regardless of his circumstances, someone said you can't put a good man down, right? Or a woman, right? So no, regardless of his circumstances, he bounced back. He kept on. He didn't quit. Why? He remembered the dream and the Lord was with him. You and I need God's presence in our life. We need God's peace, his protection, his promotion in our life. We need that. You know, they're telling us that mental illness is off the chart now. Mental illness. People that have been mentally, they're emotionally dysfunctional through COVID. They're not the same as they were before. They picked up wrong habits. They picked up wrong disciplines, the wrong thing to do. And they're emotionally unstable, and mental illness, they said, is going to go off the charts in the next few months and years because of this last year. Well, the key, you know, I'm going to talk about it today. I'm going to talk about the vaccine for mental illness. But remember, we talked about at the very beginning of my series. Remember, my mental coach, his name is Jason. I have a mental coach I've had for years. And he said that all of his clients made it through COVID, came out better. And one of the keys was they had a daily mental workout. This is secular now, daily mental workout. Well, what would that be for you and I? I'm going to talk about it today. As Christians, what must be our daily mental workout? So let's look at this, Psalm 105, verse 17, a reference to Joseph. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Next verse, please. They bruised his feet with fetters. They placed his neck in an iron collar. Verse 19. Until the time came. God has a timing. God has a schedule for all of us. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams. We landed here last week, and I gave you the phrase that has helped me through COVID, that God is a God of completion. God is a God of completion. He's the author and finisher. He's the author and finisher. He authored the dream. He'll finish the dream. He authored the call. He'll finish the call in your life. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. So it was all about character, right? Let's go to the next scripture, guys. Genesis 50 and verse 20. This is at the end of the book. This is towards the end of Joseph's life. But as for you, he's talking to his family now. There's a famine in the land. There's wickedness and sin and ungodliness in the land. There's a famine. There's lack in the land. And his family comes before him now all these years after. What's that? The dream is coming to pass. They're bowing down to him. He's the second most powerful man on the planet. And he says to his brothers, But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save as many people alive as I can. What do we call this? A right mindset. A right mindset. Church on the Rock is not like any other church. I am not like any other pastor. You are not like any other Christian. We choose to have the right mindset. We choose to set our mind on the right thing. On the right thing. If we don't fill our mind, social media will do it for us. If we don't fill our mind with the right things, the world will fill it for us. Where there's a vacuum, negativity always comes in. That's huge. Where there's a vacuum, negativity always comes in. What does somebody say? That idleness is the devil's. There you go. But as for you, here's my mindset, Joseph said. This is clue. This is a key to bounce back ability. How to be resilient? You have to think different than the crowd. You have to think different than the media and the masses. You have to be different. Illustration, I'm not going to read it today. I was going to. We're out of time. But the illustration is the 12 spies in the book of Numbers of the Old Testament. And Moses sent the 12 spies out. 10 came back with a grasshopper complex. 2 came back with a God complex. What was the difference? Their mindset. Their mindset. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. As to this day, to save as many people as I could. Next verse, verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you. Your resilience is important. Because through your resilience, you'll be able to nourish your family. When they're in famine and facing ungodly culture and a wicked culture, you will be that red scarlet rope that Rahab threw outside the walls of Jericho that saved her family. You will be the salvation of your family. You and I must stand strong for our family and for our church. He said, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly unto them. Next, guys. All right. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, those who betrayed him, those who misunderstood him, those who hurt him, those who offended him. And what did he do? He nourished them. He fed them in a famine. He gave them safety and protection. Did they deserve it? No. What was he doing for them? Giving them favor. Now, if he had not fought the good fight to the end, if he hadn't have realized God had a dream, if he hadn't have knew how to walk in the presence of God, if he didn't have a different mindset, he wouldn't have been in a position to nourish, to feed, to take care of, and lead his family into the land of Goshen. And Joseph lived 110 years. Next, guys. You tried to harm me, same passage, different translation. You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best. You and I want God's best. It takes resilience. I got to bounce back. I can't quit. You're on the verge of a miracle. God's a God of surprises. If you want God's best, you have to develop resilience, adapting, adjusting, learning, applying, growing, and coming out stronger. Knowing that whatever the world's trying to do against you, God will turn it around for your good. You tried to harm me, but God turned it out for the best. Everybody say, the best, the best, the best. So that I could save all these people as he is now doing. Next verse, contemporary English version. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you and your children. After Joseph said this, his brothers felt much better. I would think so. Next verse. Joseph lived in Egypt with his brothers until he died at the age of 110. Next, guys, Romans 8:28. Here's the mindset. Here's the New Testament version of what we just read in Genesis. And we know. Everybody say, we know. You got to know this. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for the wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. And we know that everything is working together for our good. Everything is working together for our good because we love God and we're walking in His purpose for our life. Next verse, verse 29. So it's important that we understand that verse 28 is having the right mindset, And verse 29 is God's ultimate goal for us. For whom He did foreknow, that's us. He also did predestinate. That's where you get the word predestination. That's us. What did God predestinate? What's God's ultimate goal? What's God's destiny? What's God's destination for us? That we'd be like His Son. That we would be like His Son. What's that? Character building. Character building. Conformed unto the image of His Son, that's Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that's God's goal for our life. Now look at Genesis 47 on the screen. Genesis 47, verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father, my brother, and their flocks and their herds, all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." Now, Goshen was like a little county in the midst of Egypt. And all around Egypt, there was a famine. And all in Egypt, there was wickedness and ungodly culture. But in Goshen, there was no famine. In Goshen, there was safety and provision and protecting. Where did he end up taking his family? To the land of Goshen. Where does God promise to you that if we'll be resilient and not quit and cooperate with God, what He wants to do in our life, that God will allow us to lead our family and our friends into a place where wickedness won't change them. The culture won't change our kids in the universities. Our community won't change them. Come on, somebody. And the protection and the provision and the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, presented them unto Pharaoh. Next verse. And Pharaoh said to his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "We are shepherds." Now, shepherds was the low life of the low life of the low life of an occupation in the eyes of an Egyptian. Both we and also our fathers. They said, "Moreover to Pharaoh, for to sojourn into the land we have come, for your servants have no pasture. We're in famine, we're in lack. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray that you would let us dwell in this land of Goshen, where there was no wickedness, and there was no famine, and there was no lack." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, saying to them, "For your father and your brethren are coming to you, Joseph. The land of Egypt is before them in the best of the land." It's his choice. In the best of the land, make them to dwell. Well, what is he saying? Pharaoh, the most powerful man, is saying to Joseph, the second most powerful man, he said, "It's before you. It's your choice. You have the ability because of your resilience. You have the ability because you didn't give up. You didn't quit when things got hard. You didn't hold on to an offense. You didn't get bitter. And you have the ability right now. You have the choice. You can lead your family into Goshen, where there's no wickedness and there's no famine and there's no lack. And that's the very best." Resilience will take you to God's very best in the land of Goshen, and let them dwell there. If you know, I love that, let them dwell there. If you know of any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. So Joseph placed his father and his brothers, and he gave them possession in the land of Egypt in the best. What does God have ahead for you and I? The best that the land has to offer. In the middle of inflation or recession or a culture going wicked, that you and your house can stay pure. You and your house can stay protected. You and your house can have God's best. When 1,000 are falling at your side, it will not come nigh your dwelling because you're leading the way. You went first. You might have looked like a slave. You might have looked insignificant. Your family may laugh at you for going to church. They may have scoffed at you for your stance and stand for God. But in the end, you're going to nourish them. In the end, you're going to feed them, take care of them. In the end, you're going to lead them into God's very best. Can we have a praise break? Come on, let's give God a big praise. Let's give God a big praise. I'm just going to move right on, guys. Remember the dream. The Lord was with him, having a right mindset. I have to think differently. Joshua 1:6. I want to give you now some takeaways. Joshua 1, verse 6 through 8. We looked at Joseph. We started with Joshua. Let's go back and end with Joshua on how to build resilience. Okay? Now, what is the Bible word for resilience? Courage. Okay? And we know Moses has died. The old generation has passed away. It's new generation. They're going where they've never gone before. Be strong and of a good courage. How do you do that? How do you build resilience? How do you get strong? For unto these people you will divide for them an inheritance in land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. So be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, he repeats the law of repetition. Only be strong. I'm going to have to be strong mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Be strong and very courageous. Have resilience so you may observe to do all that's in the Word of God, the laws, the Bible, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Don't compromise. That you might prosper wherever you go. So God's Word has the power to cause us to prosper emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally, and financially. In the Word of God is the power to prosper in every dimension and facet of our life as a human being. Next verse, verse 8. This book of the law, now he's going to tell us how to do it. You interpret Scripture with Scripture. So how do I get strong? How do I get courageous? How do I build resilience? This book of the law, which for you and I is the Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth. What's he saying? It starts in your mouth. It starts in your mouth. It starts in our mouth. If we want to change our life, it starts by changing what we're saying. If we want to change our life from weakness to strength, it starts with our self-talk. It starts with our daily confession. All change starts with your mouth. When you and I got born again, and those of you who are going to get born again today, it's going to start with your mouth. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth. So it's going to start in your mouth. Notice this. When God's word is coming out of our mouth, it releases God's power into our life. As the team comes out, when God's word, scriptures, are coming out of our mouth, it releases God's power into our life to cause us to prosper mentally. Now, they say mental illness is on the rise, okay? What's the key for that? You know, one of our prayer requests was that we need help emotionally, financially, and we're struggling. Well, what's the key? I have to work on this discipline right here. I have to do what Oprah said, and she went on to say, she did. She goes, I'm going to rebuild my life. And what did they say? Well, how are you going to do that, Oprah? She said, I'm going to look at my habits. This is Oprah. I'm going to look at my habits. So as we rebuild post-COVID, as we rebuild, what should we be working on? Our daily habits. What should we be developing our skill set in? Our daily habits. And one of the first habits is my confession. My confession leads to my possession. When I confess God's word out of my mouth, I'm releasing the power of God into my life. This book of the law, keep it in your mouth. Then you will, here's the skill set, here's the habit, and you will meditate day and night. This is the major key for mental strength. This is the major key for mental health. This is the major key, meditation. So I want us to work on, as a church, for the next 30-day challenge, meditating on God's word and making it a daily habit. We want to rebuild our life stronger than pre-COVID. We want to be stronger post-COVID than we were pre-COVID. Amen. How do we do that? New habits. Or pick up old habits and increase the discipline of them. So you'll meditate. This is the habit that will make you mentally strong. Now meditate therein day and night. That would be a habit, repetition, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way. It's no longer the blame somebody else. I take responsibility for my life. That's another habit. I have to get out of the habit of blaming other people for my life's condition. I have to get out of that habit. I have to do this. I have to start fasting negative words. Fasting negative words. And I have to develop the habit of speaking God's word, meditating in God's word every day. Only what I meditate on becomes a part of my life. Only what I meditate on, I immerse my life into it. If I don't fill my mind, social media will do it for me. Empty spaces, vacuums are always filled with negativity. So observe to do all that's written herein, for then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. What's that? Transformation. Transformation comes through meditation. It's better for me to take one verse and meditate on it all day long than to read five chapters that day. It's better for me to take one verse and meditate on it than to read five chapters that day. So the skill, the habit for rebuilding that we agree with Oprah on that we need to develop, but ours is, she calls it too, mental workouts. We call it as Christians, daily meditating on a scripture. It will bring transformation to our life. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good resilience. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Depression is rampant, and depression is on steroids like never before. The key to it is, what are we filling our mind with? What we're saying, we're filling our mind with. Watch this now. If we don't meditate, develop the skill, develop a new habit of God's word every day, one scripture better than five chapters. If we don't control our thought life, someone else will. If we don't control our thought life, someone else will. Our thought life, whoever controls our thought life, controls our life. Whoever controls our thought life, controls our life. Watch this now. That means simply then, you and I have the controllable of controlling our life, because we can control what we think about. You have the ability to change your life today by changing what you're thinking on. Whoever controls your thought life controls your life. You and I have been given the power as Christians to control our thought life. We do it through meditation. Just pick one scripture. It's more powerful than five chapters. So real quick here, in conclusion, let me give you some takeaways on resilience. So meditation in God's word daily, a new discipline, an old discipline picked up and doing a better job at it. Meditating on God's word will rebuild our life. How do I do that? Verbalize. I do it through speaking God's word out loud. Number two, through visualizing. I do it through seeing myself with that promise coming to pass. Number three, I memorize it. Put the word in you and your kids when you don't need it, so that when you do need it, that's what comes out. Memorize. Number four, personalize the scripture. And now we're ready for application. There is no transformation without application. And I believe you and I, together as a family, we're growing in the area of being resilient in Jesus' name. We're going to lead our family into God's best, and we're going to be able to nourish them and feed them and help them and lead them to a God who's for them. I'm out of time. Did I help you today? Come on, let's thank God for the word. Amen. Let's all stand up together, can you? Everybody standing, and everybody on every campus, stay with us now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's just thank the Lord for the word. Father, we thank you out loud, revelation knowledge. Thank you for the anointing on your word. It won't return void. Thank you that we found out how to cure mental illness, how to cure depression, how to cure fear. We found out how to take control of our life. We found out how to change. We found out how to build resilience. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now we're going to be doers of the word of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to pray one generic prayer here and on all of our campuses. We're going to pray this prayer together. And this is for those of you who don't know the Lord and you're ready to come to God today. You want a relationship. Or those of you who want to reset your life, or like Oprah said, rebuild your life now, and you want to come back to the Lord, we're going to help you. Let's all say this together, everybody out loud. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ died, rose again for me. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Savior and my Lord. I put you in charge. I surrender to your will. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.